Happy Saturday, beloved listeners, and welcome to Advanced Living. I'm your host, Kenneth Lesser, so thrilled and delighted to be with you again today. And as we're getting ready to celebrate the fall equinox, too.
That's true.
A change of season. And with that, we get to also look at, is there a way to be humorous and change your life powerfully? Well, guess what? It just so happens that today is your lucky day because I have a wonderful, wonderful guest today, Linda Edgecombe, who is a fabulous speaker, 20 years experience about employee wellness, lifestyle and corporate consulting, recreation. I mean, just things for balanced, elegant, fulfilled living. And she is an internationally renowned, award-winning humorous speaker, and she's a trainer and a consultant, best-selling author who energizes wherever she speaks, whether it's in front of you or if you get her CDs. Oh, get ready for some good fun, because you will get a powerful message, and you will be lightening the load with laughter. So this is so important, and she's a professional with a degree in physical education and all those years of experience. And she was a consultant for Participation, a program promoting healthy living to Canadians, and is known for being one of the country's most popular speakers. And, I mean, Canada has got some of the world-class speakers there. And most recently, she was featured in the Wall Street Journal as an expert in shifting perspectives. And you know the saying, it's not what happens in life that counts, it's how you take it. Well, that's what shifting perspectives is about, how to take the cards that we're dealt and end up finding out that we can have a handful of jokers and absolutely win every time we play the game. So
you might walk away poor, but you feel like a winner.
So, oh, dear listeners, I'm so excited to introduce you. You can hear that sweet voice of Linda. So, Linda, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. Those introductions, you know, I mean, my husband once jokingly said, he goes, because he hardly ever hears me speak here, hardly ever gets out to see me, and he goes, man, if an introduction like that, he goes, I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I weren't married to you, I'd want to listen for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, oops.
Well, that's what's funny. You know, I mean, I was speaking at a conference just this week, and I make lots of jokes about. I mean, I can make jokes about my life because I'm a mom and I'm married and I've been married a long time and the funny thing is that day to day life is pretty humorous. If it wasn't, we'd all go crazy. So you have to kind of look at how we. I mean, first of all, how you respond to stuff and I mean, the truth is about any relationship, whether it's marriage or whether it's friendship or work, coworkers, we all have conflicts. I mean, that's just the way life is. we're built that way. It's not so much that you have conflicts or that you fight, it's how you actually get out of the conflicts. And if you can do that with some humor and levity, then you have a much higher and more successful survival rate, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, boy. And now I know you're starting something new, of course, with and we want to, before we get too far into this, invite that if there's listeners that have questions on how to balance their lives and how to move things ahead, and we'll be talking about accountability, guilt-free accountability. There's a number of things. Let me give those numbers because you're up in Canada. We'll give out that number for the Canadians first. They can call in on 888-815-9756. For our good folks here in the U.S., 877-876-5227. For the wonderful listeners outside of those countries, 530-876-3222. And one of the things that you're doing, of course, is providing a whole bunch of programs to support people. So if we went to your website,
yep.
Linda Edgecombe, LindaEdgecombe.com,
yes.
We would get to see a number of the things that you're doing there. Now, and then there's a new thing that's kind of piqued my interest. That's a new site that's in process of being completed, but we're going to kind of get a sneak preview today. It's called MyFirstLivesClub.com.
Yeah.
Well, I got to know, a first life. You know, what is this thing? What's a first life here?
Well, you know, it's funny. I jokingly talk about, you know, I ask a few questions when I first kick off any presentation, and one of the questions I ask are you on the deferred life plan? And most of us are. We can't hardly wait till Friday at 5, you know, and then life's going to kick in. Or we come out of high school and thinking, okay, as soon as I get out of school, boy, it's going to be great. And then we think, okay, well, maybe I should get a diploma. So then you maybe go to college or university, and maybe, you know, as soon as I come out of that, it'll get better. And then you think, well, maybe if I got a job, you know, start making whatever dollar figure is in your head, then it'll be great. And then we keep waiting and waiting. And then you think, well, maybe if I was in a relationship, and then you get in the relationship, and you're like, okay, that's not totally it either. And then the two of you sit down one night over a glass of wine, you go, well, maybe if we had kids, you know. And then so then you have kids and you're going, okay, well, when those kids move out of the house, and we just keep pushing it, and like we keep waiting for something. And the fact is that this is it. I mean, we are all in our first and only life, and how can we take it back? And so over years of living the deferred life plan, I find that we get a little, even though it's not even always conscious, we get a little subconscious resentfulness going on towards our day-to-day routines, our work, and we're going like, why am I not doing the stuff I said I was going to do this summer? You know, I'm a golfer, and I, you know, after you have kids, you get busy, and life goes on, and I'm going, why haven't I gone out once? And I love golf. Why do I not go out more often?
Yeah.
And so part of the, you know, part of the First Life Club is to, you know, have people take a snapshot of where they're at and say, okay, well, where are my passions, and what do I want to do, and what fuels my, what brings me energy, what puts a smile on my face, and sort of taking it back, I guess, so to speak, that's what it's going to be about.
Ah, okay.
A little self-awareness, little, you know, strike a match under everyone's behind, because every once in a while we all need a little, I call it proverbial kick in the butt, and
sure,
we do. We just,
yeah, we got to get some motivation.
We need a little nudge. And you know, I say, and I really believe this, that motivation doesn't come from anybody ever chatting at you. It doesn't come from even us listening to all the best CDs in the world. Motivation is a physics equation.
Mm.
It's about inertia.
Ah.
And motivation comes from when every one of us puts one foot in front of the other foot and moves towards something, whatever that something might be, and then inertia kind of picks up. It kind of snowballs on us a bit and kind of gets things rolling, and before you know it, once you've done one thing, it tends to snowball to the next day, and then you maybe, it makes sense, right?
Ah.
That, to me, is motivation, and
okay.
It moves you along. So the biggest key to me,
yeah,
for people in moving on their life and doing things they want to do and getting what will be a big part of this First Lives Club,
sure,
is to just move, is to literally get people to take the first step.
Ah, and I know from a previous conversation you have at your trainings, or if people, you know, go in and get some of your CDs that are there, that they would get an example of how you get people to change the inertia from being couch potato or stuck into some motions. Would you be willing to share some of those techniques?
Sure. For the last 5 or so years, I've been encouraging people just to email me, and the most common denominator in most people's emails, if they've sat through a seminar of mine, most common denominator of something they want to move on, has been something to being a little bit more physically active. That's the most common, not in everyone, but it tends to be the most common denominator in most people's emails. And so, the two best tips that I've learned, one was from one of my own trainers, because I've trained for a few runs and a few triathlons over the years, and is that we are exactly who we are because of our habits. So whatever's going on for you, you're exactly who you are. You're as positive as you are. You're as negative as you are. You're as active or inactive. You're as creative or whatever, because literally of our habits. And so if someone wants to be a bit more active, I always say they have to absolutely always do something on a Monday.
Mm.
Because if you do something on a Monday, you actually tend to then do something maybe on a Wednesday, then probably maybe even a Thursday, maybe even a Saturday.
Ah.
But if you wait till Wednesday, Wednesday usually turns into a Thursday, turns into Saturday, maybe next week, and usually you go another few months, right?
Yes.
So I always say, if you're going to do something active for sure, always, always do something on a Monday. So if you're listening to this today and you're thinking, yeah, you know, I would really like it if I went for a walk. But today is not Monday, is it?
No.
It's, what day?
We're calling it Saturday.
It's Saturday.
Okay.
And so if in your mind, if there's listeners listening to this, you've been thinking, yeah, you know what, I really could use a walk, I suggest that you go and do one today. Because if you do one today, you might do one tomorrow. And the inertia, it's inevitable, it's physics, it just sort of snowballs on you. So that's the first tip that's the best tip I've ever learned. The other one around, especially physical activity, well, actually, it's probably anything around motivation. If you want to sort of move on something, we overthink everything. So I call it the don't think method of being motivated. And when it comes to being like a little more physically active, you know, you say to yourself one day at work, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go for a walk at lunch, and then what kicks in? Someone comes by your desk and says, yeah, we're going down to such and such cafe, and you love that cafe. See, now your head's kicking in. You got to go, oh, yeah, don't think. Don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think. And as you're saying don't think, you are tying on your shoes, you know, the good walking shoes. Don't think, keep saying, and I, you know, tie on your shoes. Don't think, don't think, don't, like, don't, I always say don't think yourself right out the door. And you literally keep saying that to yourself. And what's funny is that, or you wait, you say, okay, well, I'll go tomorrow morning, and tomorrow morning it's raining. We have every reason in the world not to ever go out and be physically active. We all do.
Yes.
It's just one of those things that our heads will kick in every time. There's always a good reason why not to go.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure if I was physically active in a past life, and I know where I'm at in this life, and maybe I can defer it to my next life.
You're not getting off the hook that easy, sir.
Oh,
and you live in a beautiful part of the world, so you better be out there.
Okay. Well, I do love going out for walks. I got a lake just a few blocks away from where I live, and it is. And on a daily basis, at the sunrise, I go out and stand on the earth and just look at the sunrise and take that in and just feel that connection to nature. So I know that's been inspiring to me.
The number one thing that anyone can ever do, and this one, and probably because, yes, I have a background in phys ed, and yes, I have a background promoting healthy living, and I just mean, and I'm not, believe me, I am not even close to being, like, crazy about this, but this is non-negotiable. This is a no-brainer. We were not put on this earth to be sedentary. And so it is simply, if you need energy, because if you're looking to improve your life, I'm assuming if you're listening to this program, you're into this frame of mind anyway, you need some energy, because the bottom line is the majority of the population, certainly in North America, we're chronically fatigued right now. We're on a treadmill that's just gotten crazy, and so if you need energy, the number one thing you can do is energy out equals energy back. Period. It's only physics. I keep saying that, but that's the truth. Energy out equals energy back. And so if you need more energy, you have to move your body. I mean, if you think about the reason way back when unions sort of came through the nation and mandated us to have coffee breaks, The reason they did is because at the time we were laborious in the work we did, right? So we were moving and shaking all day long, and then if you sat down, rested a bit, you got re-energized. But now most of us are mentalists, and we sit most of the day. And when you get a break, you need to literally get up out of your chair and move a bit, and especially move a bit in the afternoon, because that's when most people's energy rhythms tend to dip. But movement is the number one. And it doesn't matter whether you don't have to be a marathoner. You don't, you know, you can be a walker, or you can be a gardener or a golfer or a swimmer or a biker. It doesn't matter. Just more, literally, just think of it this way. More oxygen in your blood system moving through your body more often, period.
Okay.
Non-negotiable.
Yeah. All right. So that's a biggie to get things started. Okay.
See,
so
shouldn't have gotten
if you're
that
sitting
way.
And listening to our program, I want everyone... Stand up. I'm standing up now. I'm going to march in place and talk to Linda, because I won't sit for this kind of stuff.
But it's the absolute crazy truth. But you also have to be really honest with yourself. So if you're the kind of person who you know you're more apt to go out, if you cajoled your friend to go with you, then cajole your friend. You know, be honest. So you just got to know yourself.
Yeah, that and you start to get out there, and you find out there's other people that are starting to get into motion.
Yeah.
And
lots
of course,
people are starting to get in motion.
And I bet that you notice that there's a tie-in, because the word emotion, energy and motion, and then motion, they kind of tie in, don't they?
Yeah. If you, I'm a bit of an event person, but maybe because I come from a recreation background, but I... my family, we run a bit. We do triathlons. My kids now do them. And none of us are outstanding athletes, but the coolest thing about going to events, so like you say, energy and motion, is that the folks that are out there, yes, there's a few that are, you know, fanatically crazy about it, but the majority are just folks that are pretty happy most of the time, probably because they're active. And I always say they work hard and they play hard. Like, they're really positive. And it's just a really kind of cool energy to be around, is when you're around people who are fairly active. That's what I find.
Oh, yeah. Well, animation, that exuberant living, that's so important. Now, in your work, you speak about life's ultimate goal.
Yes.
And I mean, okay, I got to know. You got a lot of experience here. What is that?
What is life's ultimate goal?
Yeah.
How I normally set that question up, I say, you know, when I usually ask, you know, whoever's listening, I'll go, you know, so think about the work you're doing. Like, why do you think we go in and out every day? Most of us, somewhere between 30 and some of us 45, some people even push 50 years on the job, whatever those jobs might have been, right?
Yes.
For a few people now, or they might have been there at the same job and whatever. And I say, well, seriously, every day we're going after this consciously or subconsciously, but you're going after it every day. And someone, most common answer someone says is retirement. And I go, okay, which will make you feel what? And they go, old? I go, no, okay. And someone eventually gets to happiness. And I go, yeah, it's happiness. Every day, every one of us is going after this crazy thing. Life's ultimate goal is happiness. Now, for some people, that word, I say, is a little thin for them. They don't, you know, they're like maybe, you know, self-contentment or inner peace or self-actualization or whatever the word might be for you. But truly, comes down kind of the same thing. It's happiness. And then I go on to, I really believe this, that the crazy thing is that most of us as adults don't have a real clear picture of what that word means to us. We have a sense of some of the bigger pieces of it, but not a real clear picture. And the other thing is that everyone has to realize is that how you define it is very different from the person who sits next to you, and very different from your sisters and your husbands or your wives and your kids. All of us have our own recipe. And how I kind of get them to think about it even deeper is I go, you've got to think about when was the last time or what was the last day when... the stars aligned for you. You know, it might have been one of those days where you're out on the lake and the smells were great. Or like you say, you get up in the morning and you sort of stand there, maybe you're looking at the mountains, or maybe you have a dinner party one night and just the conversation is fantastic. And you go, you know what, guys? It doesn't get any better than this. So I ask people to think about when's the last time those words came out of your mouth? Not someone else's, but out of your mouth.
Yes.
And I've done a little teeny bit of research around this crazy thing, this word we call happiness, right? This elusive word. And I've come to sort of the thought that, you know, we need about, I don't know, 6 to maybe 12 of those moments where you actually recognize, you know what, it doesn't get any better than this, moments in a year. We don't want them every day, we don't even want them every other day because, then we tend to not appreciate them as much as we can when they do happen. And when you get a little bit more clear on your own recipe, the big, the teeny, the spiritual, the physical, all those things, those little parts of the recipe, the stars align up faster.
Oh.
And you recognize the moment quicker, that's all. And then you have to recognize also that your recipe for happiness is an evolutionary recipe, of course. You know, as we get older and we change and we, different things kind of ebb and tide, and what meant a lot to you last year might be a little different this year. And
So I can, or we can be happy about something, but then what, something else could come along and we could be even happier about something else.
Because there's so many things we haven't discovered yet, from ourselves, right?
Oh my gosh. So there's lurking happiness out there.
Lurking happiness, that's perfect.
Ah.
Exactly.
Look out, folks.
It's just, because it really, I mean, how often do you get to go, and you go, wow, it doesn't get any better than this. I love it when that happens. And it could be just, like you say, if we're on the cusp of going into fall, right? I mean,
yeah.
So right now it's really cool. These are what I call the best golf days of the year. It's really cool, really cool in the morning, right?
Yeah.
And then, but if the sun still comes out, it's not too hot, and you can still look really, really good on the golf course because you're... But the smells of fall are very, very different than the smells of spring, let alone, and all that. Those are just, to me, that's being conscious in the moment. And recognizing those qualities about yourself, it just makes you appreciation, I guess. It's just
sure.
Appreciation, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So that, to me, is life's ultimate goal. And
okay. Well, and then, now, I'm curious because you have a phrase in your work that is about life's second ultimate goal.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, okay, so what's that?
So if happiness is the first one, the second one is that whenever any of us go out of this world, and none of us know when that's going to be for sure, I believe we want to do it with as few regrets as possible.
Mm.
Not no regrets. I don't believe in no regrets. I think no regrets is too extreme, and I'm not a big person on extremes, but I do believe in as few regrets as possible, and in saying as few regrets as possible, I know that whoever's listening, there's probably some great musicians out there, and there's probably some great artists, and maybe some good writers,
yes.
And maybe some small business owners, or parents, to be parents, or to be grandparents, or to be world travelers, or amazing philanthropists, doing some cool things in another country. We all have what I call undones. We all have undones. And the crazy thing is that a good chunk of the population, especially, again, in North America, we have bought into the idea that this crazy ailment that we suffer from, which is perfectionism, is an ideal that's worth going after. And that standard that we bought into, it's just a grayed out from not acting on anything. Because intellectually, even perfectionists know that it doesn't exist intellectually. But we still kind of go after it. And so when we kind of go after it, what it does is it stops us from actually moving on anything. Okay, so...
Oh, you mean people say, I can't do it as good as I want to, so I might as well not do it?
Try it anyway.
Huh?
Yeah. When, in fact, I think, who gives a rip whether you're the best at it or not? And so to make it even simpler, I say, if you were brought up with a thought, let's say you've taught your children this thought, and maybe you lead your teams this way, and the thought is that if I can't do it well, I won't do it at all, then you're never going to move on something. And remember now, motivation doesn't come from you getting an inspiration. Motivation comes from movement. And my personality style, I am such a, as I stand here in my office and look around, because now you have me standing, I look around, which is great, by the way, and look around, I'm looking at all the different piles, and the papers are everywhere, and my book's over here, and this is there, and whatever, it's mess.
Yes.
I'm such a erratic thinker, I've become a compulsive goal setter.
Mm.
So, but I'm very, very driven, so I set goals, and then I move on them. Okay, what I do know about goal setting is the goal is never about the goal.
Oh,
the
well.
The goal, you figure out what the goal is about in the middle of going after the goal somewhere.
Yeah.
It becomes something completely different. But you don't get the pleasure of figuring that out until you've actually started to move on it. So if you are a, if I can't do it well, I won't do it at all person, and you lean towards perfectionism, you won't even start out on going after the goal. And the whole point of this whole, in my opinion, the whole point of this whole ride that we're all of us are on is just move on something. Just go and see what happens.
Okay.
That's where your energy is going to come from. That's where all your best learnings come from. It's your greatest insights come from that, and you're like usually quite pleasantly surprised at what you find out, because it's not normally what you expect.
Sure. Well, yeah.
But you know, just to sort of tie up the whole perfection thing about life's
yeah.
an ultimate goal. People have said to me, "Well, then don't you believe in doing things well?" Of course I do. See, but excellence is different than perfection. Because, do we want people to build good products? Of course we do. Do we want you to try your best? But that, yes, that's like that to me. The difference between excellence and perfection is that when you have done the absolute best you could possibly do on whatever task it is, at the end of the day, when a perfectionist puts their head on their own pillow at night, they're still not happy with that. It's eating them up.
Yeah.
So excellence is different than perfection.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the perfectionist, a mistake is devastating to a perfectionist, but when you're pursuing excellence,
right.
Mistakes along the way are just learning experiences.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is old cliche stuff, but it's the truth.
Well, it's so important to adopt those postures. Now, when you're dealing with people, and I'd like to see what kind of advice you might have, because there's a few of us folks out there in our modern Western world that have more than a full plate.
You know what's funny? What's really funny over the years, if you think about it, what's the most common answer? If you ask people, how are people doing? What do they say?
They're busy.
Busy, 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 busy. They say two things. First they say, fine. And then they say busy. Busy, 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 busy. I think we have become busy, and everyone has to know this. You choose to be busy. Okay, it's a choice. We choose to put stuff on our plates, and we pile it on, and we pile it on, we pile it on, and I think for two good reasons we pile it on.
Is it too many buffets that I've gone to?
Perhaps.
Oh.
Because when we pile a ton of stuff on our plates,
yes.
we look great. Look what you got going there, right? People are like, wow, I can't believe it. And number two, and this is where people get a little ticked off at me, but the thing is, number two is you pile all the stuff on your plate because it's a grayed out. Because you can't do it, and you know you can't do it. So you have a grayed out because you're too busy. But in the meantime, you still look great.
Oh, I'd like to, but...
Right.
Wish I could, but...
Yeah. The funny thing about focus and what I've learned about this whole accountability program that I started a few years back is that when we actually just sort of get focused on a few things that we want to do and stuff starts falling off the plate, man, our energy goes up. And and we look at things differently and we see things differently. It's just it's a really interesting thing to actually focus.
So you can actually help us clear our plates without stuffing our mouths.
Now this
is wonderful, and not only that, but the title of one of your programs that I want you to explain, it's accountability, and I mean, a lot of folks, the idea of being an accountant, that wasn't any fun, and the figures, and then being accountable was like someone, holding us down, and you were wrong and what you do and all this punishment.
Yeah.
And you got a program, guilt-free accountability. What's going on here?
Well, I'm just, as a mom, as a female, I was just like, where did all this guilt come from? Like, why do we buy into the fact that it's okay to feel guilty? Like, and I think the reason we're okay feeling guilty is because it's better than feeling resentful. So the two opposite ends, guilt or resent. But, accountability to me, and I like talking about personal accountability, I actually think that for the most part, I mean, there's been lots and lots of discussion over the last, probably handful of years about our governments being more accountable, about our churches being more accountable, about all these large institutions being more accountable. And so what I like focusing on is just how each of us individually are accountable and to ourselves. And do we have it? Did we ever have it? I really think that for the most part, most of us that work, you know, whatever jobs, we are fairly accountable to our jobs. We might not buy into the whole thing, but there's some parameters around our work that we're okay with. And so we kind of do that kind of stuff. Where we've really fallen off the board is that we're really crappy at being accountable to ourselves personally. And so then we wake up at 25, 35, 45, 55, and 65 or whatever and go, where the heck did my life go? Like, why am I not doing the stuff I say I want to do? And so then we have this low-level resent towards this job we have because this job is getting in the way of my life. You know, and when I finally retire, I'm going to get my life back. Well, that's that deferred life plan thing. So,
yeah.
What I did? Can I explain? It won't take long. What I did?
Yeah, please.
So just off the cuff, I had no intention of this ever happening. Is I have a group of colleagues who I hold near and dear. They're my. I call them my WD-40 women. They're my desperate women over 40. And we're sitting around. We're sitting around a few years back having wine, having what I call, I don't know if I can say this, but having what I call a little stitch and bitch, and talking about life and family and kids and work. And I said, like, I'm pretty driven. I go, well, who keeps you ladies accountable? And they're like, I don't know. I said, well, how do you get done with the stuff you say you're going to do? Like, where does the rubber hit the road for you guys, right? And
yeah.
So we kind of talked about that for a minute, and I said, well, how about this? That was before Christmas. I said, how about if we get together in January, we'll have a breakfast meeting. I said, we'll bring some goals for next year. And we'll just sort of see whatever everybody wants to do. And they said, okay. So we got together in January. And what's funny to me is what came to the meeting. And what came to the meeting was, it was across the board, very varied. One person brought their operations manual from their company, like with dust on it, which is
yeah.
not unusual. One person had just gone through some business course, so she was all jazzed up about, you know, starting this new business of hers.
Yeah.
One person brought the little notepad they have next to the phone that they take down who's called, and she had a few things on there, and the most, for her, the deepest one for her was that she wanted to make sure that the minutes to the Parents Advisory Committee meeting were done at least one day prior to each meeting. That was the biggest goal for her.
Okay.
And I brought goals that I had written 3 years before this and had never once looked at.
Ah.
Okay. So we had a laugh about that. I said, well, because this isn't exactly what I was thinking. I said, how about if we go away for a couple of weeks, think about this, come back with something a little bit more well thought out. They said, sure. I said, but in the meantime, why don't we just email each other on Monday with what we're doing next week? And that's as loose as it started.
Ah.
So I go off because I'm speaking the next day at some big safety conference with 500 people. 99% of them were men. And for some crazy reason, I was called Divine Intervention. But
mm-hmm.
I had this idea in the middle of this keynote, and I just said, and thinking stereotypically, oh, they're men. They're not going to do this. I said, hey, you guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you guys to email me by Monday before noon, and on your email, I want your next week's to-do list. I said, but on the email, I want to see something more than just the regular stuff you're going to do. So I want you to work on one thing that's a little bit more meaningful for you than I got to drive the kids to hockey or sports or whatever and go to work and the regular stuff. Okay?
Yeah.
So I thought, but it's guys, you know, they probably won't do it. So that's fine. Then I went off and spoke the next day at another event, maybe 150 people, men and women mixed, and said the same thing. So Monday comes along. So out of 650-odd people that I spoke to that week, I probably got about 475 emails in my inbox.
Ooh.
But I had said to all of them, and by the way, I said, I will email you back.
Wow.
And
this wasn't with an autoresponder?
Nothing. My mind first went to, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then I started reading them.
Yeah.
Okay? And was blown away by what these men were revealing to me about what they wanted to do. Spend some time with their kids and blah, 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 and have a date with their spouse and get out and do their... So ever since then, now that's over 5 years ago, and that was before I wrote Guilt-Free Accountability. Ever since then, every audience I've spoken to, I've done the same challenge. And ever since then, every Monday, I get hundreds and hundreds of emails. I knew very, very quickly. I kept saying to myself, why are they responding so easily? Like, what is it that's driving them to respond to me? They don't know me. They're not committed to me.
Right.
Maybe that's part of it. But then I started doing some research. Can I tell you about
Sure, that? Yeah, please.
Okay. And then I'm going to give whoever's listening a challenge, because it's a real simple challenge, and they can just test the waters for themselves. And all I ever say is, you know what? Just trust me here. I only say this with this much conviction because I've seen it so many times over the last 5 years. So this whole accountability thing, every one of us has goals in our heads. Every one of us does. All of us have those undones, right? Things we want to do just for the sake of trying them. Very, very few of us, I've read some research around how we write our personal goals. They say less than 5% of us ever write a darn thing down on paper. And I don't mean type it. I mean literally pen to paper.
Yeah.
So when I speak, I force people, even if they're uncomfortable with the process, and they usually are, to write a few things down on paper. And then I ask them, why are you uncomfortable with doing this? And people say, because, you know, then I feel more accountable. Well, basically, the paper they're writing on, that or whatever, a handout I give them,
yeah,
becomes the mirror of them. And pretty much most of us don't like looking in the mirror.
Oh.
Okay? Let alone, so if less than 5% of us ever write something down, fewer than that ever tell somebody else, this is what I want to do. Because we think, oh my gosh, now I have to really do it. And what if I don't do it? What would that person think of me that I told I'm going to do this? We think that if I tell you I'm going to do this and if I don't do it, you're going to think I'm a loser, I'm a failure. When in fact, nobody thinks that. And the reason they don't think it, because they're not thinking about you at all.
They're too busy figuring out what's going on in their lives.
Exactly. Perfect. So I go, but the truth is, when you have it in your head and you put it on paper and then you tell somebody, this is what you want to do, boom, the chances of you doing anything about it just soar through the roof. And all that you've done, it's just simple, all that you've done is you just put it into the forefront of your brain. Mm-hmm. I mean, they call it, you know, the reticular activating system, but you've just basically brought it to the forefront of your mind. That's it.
Wow.
So when people write down, I like to be a little more active, what they start noticing is, man, there's a lot of people running today. I can't believe how many people are running. And so many ads on TV about, you know, fitness clubs. The fact is, those people have always been running. And those ads are always on TV. But you just notice them more. That's all. So it's just in the forefront of your mind.
Yeah.
So yes, you feel more compelled to do something about it.
Wow.
It's simple, simple, simple.
Yeah.
And you know what? And even the biggest naysayers I have, oh, how can you tell me that this is going to increase my energy? I'm going, because it's physics. When water goes down a river and the river narrows, the water speeds up.
Yes.
So when you focus on a few things, what happens is your energy speeds up.
Ah.
Things are going to fall off your plate. It's physics.
Wow.
So, if I could challenge, I don't know how we're doing for time, but if I could challenge everybody to do something, it's real simple. If they're listening, can I do that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So the first, I'm writing this book, I'm just finishing this book called Shift or Get Off the Pot, Simple Truths About Getting a Life. And the first page of the book says this. It says, go directly to page 175 and answer the question there. And then you can continue reading the book. So here's the question. Because
the pages are numbered?
Yes, the pages are numbered.
Okay, I didn't know how playful you were going to be with your readers.
But you know what? Oh, I could go on about what happens if I ever have a handout that doesn't have numbers on the pages. Drives people crazy. You know, my personality, I don't care, but some people feel crazy.
Yes.
Anyways, because I'm a big believer in just move on something. So literally,
yeah.
I'd rather, if someone ever even doesn't buy the book, that they actually do the one thing and they move on something, it'll snowball on them. Okay, so
yeah.
Here's what the question is on
okay.
page 175. The question is, if I could give you, not if you could find, but if I could give you 2 extra hours in a day, you can't do anything work-related, okay,
yeah.
meaning your day-to-day job kind of stuff, or if you're a volunteer, you can't do any of that stuff. You have to do other things. What would you do at that time? And it's 2 hours today, and it's 2 hours tomorrow, and the time's not being taken away from anything else, right? So no guilt.
Oh.
2 extra hours in a day, and I say, I want you to try and jot down at least 5 things. So normally in an audience course, I've given them some nice, beautiful cards that they can have sit on their desk, and they jot down some stuff. Okay, so if someone's listening and they want to say, okay, well, if I was given 2 extra hours in a day, what would I do at that time? I can't do anything work-related, right?
Yeah.
So I give them a couple minutes, and they're jotting stuff down. I usually say, try and get about 5 things down. There's probably more, but, you know, big, small, doesn't matter. Don't go to judgment. Don't go, what time of day? Don't go to, can I afford it? Just whatever. Put it
These
down.
These are bonus hours. You didn't know we had them. We got 26 now, thanks to you.
Yeah. then I say, okay, look at that list, and if there's anything that, you know, if you think about your life sort of in, you know, all parts of who you are, is there anything that maybe needs a little bit of time and attention right now? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not work-related. And I say, maybe you might want to add that to your list. So they've got a few things down on the paper, and then I say, okay, now look at the list. What I want you to do is I want you to choose one of them that you'll do something about. So here we are. So it's the 21st or 22nd. I can't remember if we're on 20th of September. So
yes, the 22nd.
About, yes, we'll do something about one of these by the 15th of October. So you write down by October 15th beside one of them. Now, when I say do something about one of these, it doesn't mean you have to finish it. You just have to initiate something. Okay? Get
okay.
the ball rolling. So they write down, and they have to, I go, I know you people really hate writing this stuff down by October 15th. Okay. Then I say, okay, choose one more that you'll do something about, probably by, I'd say by the 25th. So that'd be Tuesday the 25th, this Tuesday, 2 or 3 days max out. And so you'll do something about, and it could be the exact same one. You'll do something about by this Tuesday, October 25th. So that's your last task. And then your final commitment is that you're going to email me by Wednesday, next Wednesday, with what you did or did not get done by Tuesday. And so even if you don't get it done, you still have to email me. And you email me at info@lindaedgecombe.com.
And that's info@lindaedgecombe.com. Just like your website is
yep.
www.lindaedgecombe.com.
So even if you don't do what you said you were going to do by Tuesday, you still have to email me and say, you're right, I didn't get it done. Because even people that do that tend to do it anyway the next couple of days. So that's why I say, just email me. Just trust me. And then I just say, and just see what happens.
Mm.
And you'll surprise yourself. And the truth is, the reason I do this, and the reason I'm asking your audience to do it, is because I want to prove to people how simplistic doing the stuff you really want to do is. It's not some giant, convoluted, complex accountability goal-setting process. It isn't. It's, you know, I don't care whether your goals are SMART, whatever that is, measurable and attainable, whatever. Just literally move on something, because so few of us don't move on anything.
Yeah.
And you'll surprise yourself. Now, in the manual that I wrote, about a few months into the program of doing it, I get people to do what I call stretch goals. I get people to actually stretch a bit more than, you know, some of the simpler things. I want them to do something that's really going to scare the pants off a bit, because it's only about testing yourself, right? It's like
yeah.
a game to me. So you know, so what's a goal you have? Like, just what the heck? Look at it as look at it as a bit of a competition. I don't know. For me, I like people to stretch a bit, something that scares them. Probably scares the hell out of them, actually.
Uh-huh.
But they want it. That if it happened, you'd be like, oh, my gosh, that's great. So the first step is just getting people to actually show them how simple moving on some of the stuff you want to do is. And seeing it's all the stuff outside of work that allows us to go back into work and see our work differently. Because all of us need to work.
Yes.
Most of us do anyway.
Uh-huh.
And we'll work. And so I just think you should have some energy while you're there.
Now, I know one of the things on your website, and I want to invite people to go see www.lindaedgecombe.com, because on there you've got this this thing about fun stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, sometimes we're in serious condition. Life has got too much. We're overloaded. Something's going wrong. And I think it's beautiful that you've added in there some things of resources for that.
Well, you know what? I've got some quizzes in there people can take. But I love talking about people. I like talking about bad hair days. I like talking about days where we mess up and we screw up and you say something embarrassing or you do something that's like, oh, my Lord, and you get all... And I love people reflecting on how much energy we spend on hanging on to bad hair days. But the cool thing for me is about, you know, some of those goof-up kind of things is that when you can start to laugh at them, you know you're over them. Because all of us have great stories. We really do. And all of us have a stage. I mean, I stand in front of groups of people all the time because that's what I do for a living. But whether the coffee table at work is your stage or whether the dinner table at home is your stage or, you know, around a staff table, I mean, we all have a stage somewhere we can share some of our fun, crazy, embarrassing stories, right?
Yes.
And you know, I just think that all of us, and everybody has a sense of humor. I mean, some people are conservative with their humor and some people are edgy with their humor and some of us are just downright raunchy with our humor. And I would say, you know, don't judge each other. Judgment is such a waste of energy right there, but find your own funny faster because it really is quirky in everything. And certainly one of my heroes, I don't know if you read any Irma Bombeck over the years, but Irma was certainly, I mean, I think one of the funniest writers of the last century. She saw funny in everything, day-to-day life stuff. And Irma passed away in the late or mid-90s from breast cancer. And even when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, she found humor in that. I mean, she just, it was her way of coping with life, and she wrote it, and she just wrote it very, very, very well. And, you know, one of her, I mean, all of her titles of her books were very funny. And so I was presenting at a funeral directors conference about 3 months ago, and I was talking about Irma, right?
Yeah.
She's like my hero in humor. And one of the gentlemen who's, I guess he would be a, I don't even know what the proper name is, but I call him a tombstone expert. I don't even know what. It's probably a great, it's probably some, I'm probably insulting all the funeral directors of the world right now. But he comes up to me, he says, he goes, look at this picture, Linda. He has a picture of Irma's headstone on her gravesite. And because she passed away from breast cancer. And it says, see, I told you I was sick. That's what it says on her tombstone. I said, you are my hero, sister. we just get so wrapped up in whatever. We're so self-consumed, and most of us are fairly self-absorbed, and you know that everything is all so important. And one of the church signs, just literally down the street from my house here, said, oh, this is last fall. He's got a great sense of humor, this minister. He says, it said on the church sign, having trouble sleeping, we have sermons. Come hear one. And I went, I was instantly drawn to that. I'm going, I like whoever this person is. And then last week he had missed the Christmas rush, come to church this Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that to me says, that draws me in way more than you're going to hell in a handbasket. Right? So just a little levity. Levity and having some fun things, you know, in your life, it's a great bridge to bringing people together.
Oh, absolutely. Now, on your website, you also give some links to some resources for that?
Yep, absolutely.
And so that's another reason to go visit www.lindaedgecombe.com.
If any of your listeners, you know, it's for funny, over the years I've collected, I used to have a bumper sticker on my car that said, my only domestic quality is I live in a house. And I was pretty proud of that bumper sticker for a long time. And so I thought, you know, my mom's aunt is her name is Jean Perry. She's the cookbook guru of Companies Coming. I don't know if you get Companies Coming there in Colorado. But she's a cookbook lady. And so I always wanted to do a book called Oh My God, Companies Coming.
Oh.
to write a cookbook for the totally freaked, right? People who are totally freaked out. So
yeah.
I've been collecting recipes that are like no-brainers, make you look fabulous, you know, even if it's just instructions. Go down to aisle 4 of Costco, pick up this appy, defrost it, you know, that kind of stuff. And
okay. So, now, where do we get access to this?
That's under fun stuff.
So if you've
got a great recipe that makes you look like an absolute starlet with very, very little effort, I'm telling you, then send it my way, because I'll include you in my Oh My God, Company's Coming.
Yeah.
Well, I used to say, you know what? You know what I used to do for jam? How I used to can jam? I'd go buy one of those giant, big tubs of jam and buy those cute little jars that you can put hand jarred by Linda, and I'd put the jam from the big jam thing into the little one.
Ah.
Uh huh.
Okay.
I figured somebody made it.
So that's right.
Somebody made it somewhere.
And you made it go from one jar to another.
Yes. It's just one of those little cute covers on it and a little sticker.
See? So that was handmade jam.
Yeah. And if you, and for sure, if you ever buy pies, you know, you got to take those out of those little silver pie plate things and put them in a real glass pie plate because then it looks like you made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the heck.
See? Now, these are important tips.
Tips, I'm telling you. Tips.
Ways on a budget to build your self-esteem.
Exactly.
And then to hand it out there with pride. Look what I did.
Yeah, with a big smile on. Oh, seriously.
Yes, I know you think it takes hours, but I have my ways.
Yeah.
And, well, that's great. Now I'm curious, as we're kind of getting here into some wrap-up time, last few minutes. Now, you were talking about to the Wall Street Journal, this about shifting perspectives.
Yeah.
Can you give a couple of hints or tips about some of that?
Well, the truth is, every one of us gets, in the, how I've always noticed when a perspective is shifted.
Well, I wondered if we just, did we get a guest just on come on the line, or? Oh, maybe not. Okay.
Every once in a while, all of us get what I call a perspective kick in the butt.
Yes.
And it usually happens when we need it. And if you're consciously awake enough at the time, you'll recognize it for what it is.
Okay.
Okay? Not all of us get it. And I think Oprah said, you know, you get little pebbles, then eventually while you get a brick, then you get a wall. You know, you got to sort of be awake to it. And, you know, that tends to be what happens. So, you know, as I'm wallowing, I've got lots of stories I tell and way too long to hear, but, you know, as I'm wallowing in some silly thing, like I've got to move again, or I've got to, or my you know, my daughter may one day try my wedding dress, and of course it doesn't fit me. I mean, you know, you know, then I might turn on the TV and see something that has a reality check. I'm like, who cares that it doesn't fit me when there's bigger pictures in the world? So the truth is, no matter what anybody is going through, never put that away. That shifting perspectives is not about you putting away or ignoring what's going on for you. Just put it in perspective. So I speak for myself as a Canadian. I speak for myself as a Western Canadian. I live in a beautiful, beautiful part of the world. The view out of my window is sensational. I have absolutely nothing to complain about. Doesn't mean that I don't have some hard times or sometimes heartbreak or all those things, but for the most part, you got to wake up and go, thank you. Like, we weren't, where we live, wherever your listeners are from, I mean, I'll speak for myself. I wasn't put here. I mean, this is a gift where I've put, right? So I have to sort of keep reminding myself. I don't wake up in fear. Those are the bigger things about shifting perspective. So when we start to wallow in some crazy things that, my boss is kind of a pain, or I have a coworker that's, you know, getting up, whatever. And we get into pity parties. We get into the, oh, woe is me, the ain't life awful stuff. And, we spend so much energy in that. It's, there's so much better things to spend your energy on.
Yes.
That to me is about being awake enough to shift perspectives.
Ah, okay. And that's one of the reasons for them to go to your website, LindaEdgecombe.com, and take a look at some of the resources and some of the different information that you have in your online store, that guilt-free accountability.
Yeah.
Ah, my God, I know I'm looking forward to getting that and sharing that with some people.
My speaking schedule's on the site as well. If people are curious if I'm coming to somewhere close to where they live, they can check that out and send me an email if they have any questions or whatever. That's totally cool.
Ah,
I have a really quirky newsletter if folks are interested. And
okay, so they can sign up for your newsletter too.
Yeah, I like writing humor, so I sort of look at life in a humorous sort of slant, and I mean, why not?
Well, I mean, if you're going to be doing something with your time, let's have some fun and humor.
Right.
And that's when, where do we go to turn to that? It couldn't be LindaEdgecombe.com.
Well, I could be, I'm usually very self-promoting, but I'm appreciating that you are.
Well, I've got a chance to visit with you, and I just want to thank you, Linda. It's so wonderful as we go into this change of season to know that
this is the new year, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, It is, and this is the time of harvest. So if your plate hasn't been full of things that are tasty and delicious, now is the time to open up to a harvest of humor and a harvest of guidance from Linda's expert teachings, and to tune back in from week to week here at Advanced Living Radio so that we can keep supporting you to make that progress, to make your lives the beautiful lives that we know are intended. We are children of God, created in the image and likeness of, yes, God is pretty darn good when you get down to it, folks. Created the entire universe. I'm still trying to create my home being neat. So I, as a child of God, and we all are, we are just so much ahead of the game. And Linda, you're blessing us mightily with your humor and your materials and resources. I just wish you wonderful success and a happy new fall season to you and all our listeners out there. And just thank you for being a guest on the program.
I appreciate it. I love the opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. And to you and all of our listeners, I just call forth a blessing of God's divine grace and holiness and prosperity and wealth and just wonderful health for all of us until we meet again. This is Ken Lesser at Advanced Living Radio saying God bless you all and goodbye for now. Let's go.